some, very interesting. It's not all these, you know, the lot, this lot, that lot, this offering, that offering, this one, that one. And so you get into about 16 where it starts to get interesting. You've got the Korah thing in 16 and 17. You've got the Aaron's rod budded. That's exciting. And then you got the red heifer in 19. Now 20, you got Moses. And 21, you got the serpent of brass. And 22, we get into Balaam for about four chapters. And Balaam is very instructive. Okay, so that's the fun part of the Bible, you know, where it keeps your attention. Adventuresome. It's definitely not Chronicles, but in Chronicles, you ever read Chronicles, and then it gets into Jabez's prayer. That's about all you hear anybody talk about is that two-verse prayer, and then try to force that into the church time period. It's crazy. Okay, Numbers 20, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us understand this. Help us to know how to apply it. And help us to be encouraged and have comfort and patience, as Paul wrote, that when we study the Old Testament, that's what we can have. Learning, comfort, patience, but we also are very careful about our doctrine. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Numbers 20. Numbers 20. Okay, verse 1, and then the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month. Zin, see how close that is to Sin? But there is even one called the wilderness of Sin. Okay, so they're in Zin in the first month, the Jewish calendar, that would be in the spring. And the people abode in Kadesh, that's where the spies came from, and then 10 were bad and 2 were good. Miriam died there and was buried there. So that's the elder sister of Moses, 13 years older than her, than Moses. And then 10 years older than Aaron. So Moses was a third born. I don't know if you ever studied third borns in the family structure. Sometimes they have a unique personality, third born. Very odd. So, have an independent spirit. My sister's a third born, Janet, and she's the one that went off to the missionary field, you know. And she went to Australia when she was a senior, and we didn't have cell phones. We didn't have anything. And she was there for 2 months. We didn't even know if she got there. I mean, you just didn't know back then. And then comes back and China and Thailand and all that stuff. So, yeah, so that was Moses. And that's the one the Lord chose. So Miriam, remember back in chapter 12, she got put out with Moses about her sister-in-law. And then they had to hold up camp for 7 days because God was dealing with Miriam. So 3 million people knew the entire gossip of the inner circle. I mean, their prayer request, pray for Miriam. You know, she's got leprosy. How'd that happen? Well, 3 million people knew what happened. Okay, and Moses patiently waited. Okay, so Miriam dies, and I put some of this in the foot in the maps in the back about where they had to go. Let's see if I can see it real quick. On the route to the promised land. Yeah, when they come up north and then in the wilderness of Paran, then they get over there. Oh, by Kadesh Barnea, I have Numbers 20, verse 1 there. So I put the references in the map so you can see why I, you know, had that viewpoint. So this is the route to the promised land, Numbers 33. And then over there, Kadesh Barnea. So that's where they're at. There's the wilderness of Zin. So you can kind of see how, you know, get a little eyesight, you know, on this, and it's helpful. So in verse 2, there was no water for the congregation. Of course, you can see it in the map. And they gathered themselves together against Moses, against Aaron. Okay, we're thirsty. And the people chode with Moses, chode. If we don't know what that means, look it up in the dictionary or look it up through the scriptures. That'd be the best route. Chode, gripe, complain, murmured. Come on, Moses, you're our leader. We're thirsty. We're thirsty, Moses. You know, like a little kid. Yanny, I'm thirsty. Yeah, okay. Then he said, and then notice the gripe, though. When a person is griping, complaining, their mind is distorted. After lacking water, their brain's not working right and all that stuff. So, they said, would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. So that's back in chapter 16. Now, that's an insane statement. I wish I would have gone down in the heart of the earth and got hit by the earth and burned in the fire. Just because you're thirsty? They're not dealing with reality. When a person is complaining, they do not deal with reality. Hold your finger here. If you would try Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 7. Now these two verses, and there are many verses in the Bible, but these two obviously show that the Bible wasn't written just by men. The writer of this is reading into us. He's the creator of us. He understands us. And this verse, if you know, you may not say amen. You might want to say, oh me. Ecclesiastes 7:21. The Lord, or the preacher, this is the preacher. The word preacher is found seven times in this sermon. It's a perfect sermon. This is what's called homiletics in the schools. But I guarantee you're not going to find a school that even goes to Ecclesiastes in a homiletics class. But here it is. So the preacher says, also take no heed unto all words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. So you hear your employee curse you, backstab you. The Bible says, oh, don't worry about that. And then he says, for oftentimes also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise hast cursed others. Isn't that man right on us? So-and-so said such and such about you. Yeah, and I've said so-and-so about such and you know, to me, that's the laugher of the Bible, how it is. And so what? Can you imagine these professional athletes, what they hear on the court and on the field, what these people yell at them? And as soon as they step off the court, you know, they get in that, they make one, they get in there and they go in the crowd, pow, pow, who gets fined? And they're doing it for millions of dollars. And we should be doing it for the judgment seat of Christ. So, yeah, it's funny how that works. And so that's three. And four, a lot of times you in basketball or in any sports, there's trash talk. And I jokingly do it sometimes. And just for fun. But I know it's going to come back on me. I know it is. And one time we're getting ready to play down in Rensselaer in one of the pickup games, and one of the young fellas said, Pastor, I got you figured out. I said, okay. And we played a 21. I think I scored 11 of them. And he went with his tail between his legs. He done didn't figure me out, did you? And so, but still, he's saying, okay, now Moses, no, okay, they're saying, we wish we'd have died back there in number 16. And notice the next question. And why have ye brought up the congregation of the Lord into the wilderness? What do you mean ye? You two, Moses and Aaron. You mean we, us two, can force 3 million people? Are you kidding me? Now, who's the one that encouraged them to go out there? God did. And they voluntarily followed. They might have been griping and complaining some of the way. Can you imagine some people walking through the Red Sea? A nervous type. Hope it stays, hope it stays, hope it stays, hope it stays. And then a kid that just has absolute faith. Look at that fish when in his aquarium. Isn't this fun? And one enjoyed the trip and the other one didn't enjoy the trip. And both got on the other side. And a lot of Christians are like that. Some are enjoying the trip and some are nervous and doubting and all that. Still going to get to the other side. So he says, why have ye? And then the question goes, that we and our cattle should die there. What about the kitty cats and the dogs? You're just worried about the cattle. Well, we can eat them. So what a question. Okay, it's an illogical question. No, we are the, they chose to come. Next question. And wherefore have ye made us to come up out of Egypt? We didn't make you. Okay, now Moses and Aaron could have taken those statements and argued back in their face. And what would that accomplish? These people are hurting. They're upset. So just let it go by like water off a duck's back. So it said, to bring us in unto this evil place. It is no place of seed or figs or vines or pomegranates. Neither is there any water to drink. Okay, in the statement, you'll see Moses and Aaron doesn't even deal with it. I mean, their words, they don't say, are you serious? No, they don't say anything, nothing. They just let people talk. And then, and Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. They went to God. And there, and they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. Hey, they're going to get an answer for the Lord. Get an answer from Him. You just let those people utter their words, okay, and showed their pain and concern and fears. And so Moses and Aaron, they did the right thing. They went to the temple. God showed Himself. The glory of the Lord appeared. Paragraph mark. The Lord's going to talk. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod. Okay, that's that rod he had. Take the rod. Gather thou the assembly together. Thou, singular pronoun. Pick up on those. If you can kind of keep those type of verses where the TH is showing singular pronoun. He's talking to Moses. Just specifically Moses. So, he said, thou and thy brother, thy, singular pronoun, thy brother, Aaron, thy brother. So he's that, remember, get those. Thee and thou and thy and thine are significant. And this is not, quote, old English. This is being precise. And so then he said, and speak unto the rock before their eyes. Okay, rocks and stones have amazing qualities in the Bible. If we believe the words, Joshua 24 says the stone was going to record and be a witness. So stones have memory. They have memory in them. Okay, down at camp, when you turn left into camp, there's a little building to the right. And it used to be a church. You can see a little steeple, and you can see there was what do you call it? Not a mini bus, like it's like a dually bus that would pick up probably 20 some people. So that's parked there. So that means that sometime that building had some action going on, but it's all dead. And now it's got wood. It's made wood, stone. I don't know if wood or stone have memory like stone does. So it would be interesting to know what happened there. Now, I went in the building, opened the back door, went in, junk everywhere, insulation falling down. I saw a Becca box, a Becca book box. So that tells me it had something in there. Somebody had homeschooling or some Christian schooling going on in there. They had missionaries on a bulletin board, and they had cassette tapes or so-and-so. I didn't know the guy's name. But I would be in there and I'd say, Lord, what happened here? What happened here? And I talked to Brother Miles about that. He's a pastor in Kentucky, and I told him about that church. He said, you know, I do the same thing. I just wonder what happened. And so, yeah, there it was. It's just sitting there. And it's dead. It died. Something happened in there. But maybe it's a scandal. Maybe there was a fight in a business meeting. You know, maybe somebody criticized somebody. Words were expressed. People were hurt and gone. And nothing's there now. And it's just sad. So in Moses and Aaron, they go to the Lord, speak unto the rock. Okay, this rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. Okay, now this rock is in Kadesh Barnea. Okay, when I was on the first time I went to Israel with Ron Wyatt, we were in Kadesh Barnea area. He told us that they did some equipment where they could kind of go into the ground to see what was going on. And he said in one area, it seemed like that there were something buried down there, like houses or something, and that could have been when the earth opened up. There was another area where you could see that there was some major water erosion. And this is not desert like sand, it's rocks. And you could see, man, there's a major water erosion there. And in Saudi Arabia's side, the rock that they talked about there today, if you can, you might be able to see it on Google Maps, Google Earth. There, it's about a 40-foot tall rock. Okay, if you go past my dad's farm, the overhead grain bins or square bins are painted blue and everything. That grain elevator beside it, the elevator leg is 50 feet tall. So as a 12-year-old kid, I used to take my little cowboy that was about this tall, and then I'd take a hanky and I'd put strings on my cowboy, and then I'd climb to the top of that and I'd throw it out like he was parachuting down. I would die if my kids did that. Dad wasn't around. And then the other elevator leg is 80 foot tall. And so Ronnie and I, we worked on that, so we're hanging around, on top and all that stuff. But, okay, that thing is 48 feet tall, and so you come down about 12 feet, and that's the top of the two big grain bins, not grain bins, but overhead bins, where we can put a semi underneath of it and fill it in 7 minutes. That's the size of that rock. So it's the same width, and the rock comes up to the peak of that overhead bends. That's huge. And it's split down the middle, and you can see water eroded away. It was a massive river that came through that. Okay, that's at Mount Sinai. And wouldn't it be neat to investigate that? I mean, the Saudis put a chain link fence around it so they don't want people in there. We didn't go on the Saudi side. We stayed on the Egyptian side. We couldn't go on the Saudi side. So now this is Kadesh Barnea. So this is a rock. Okay, do you see the typology in the Bible? Okay, remember we want to look at the Bible doctrinally, and the rock is a picture of Jesus Christ is the rock. 1 Corinthians 10:4. So he's the rock. And he said here, the first time you smite the rock. But what does he say here? Speak ye unto the rock before their eyes. Wouldn't you feel funny? Hey, rock. Yeah. Hey, rock, give me some water. And well, okay, he was told to speak to the rock, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beast drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, and he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, so they're griping up there in verse 3, 4, and 5. He probably ran that through his mind. You know, he heard it. He ran it through his mind. And this guy's the meekest man, according to 12:3. But even the meekest man, sometimes that stuff gets under your skin. And he says, "Here now, you rebels!" That must be down in South Newton, because their mascots are rebels. "Here now, you rebels! Must we fetch you water out of this rock?" And Moses lifted up his hand and with his rod smote the rock twice. And water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank of their beasts also. He was told to speak to it. He had, now this is a good example that the end doesn't justify the means. Person, well, he got water out of it. Yeah, but the Lord said this method. And he did this method. And even though he attained the end, it forfeited his right to go in the land of Canaan. God has a method, and he wants it delivered in his method. And you still may have an end result, but you're still going to answer for it. The person's going to answer for that. So in typology, what is Moses doing? Okay, you smite the rock, that's Calvary. Okay, and then after that, it's a relationship, you speak to the rock. So Moses is typifying the Mass, because the Catholic priests believe that they are actually smiting Jesus again. When they do the Mass, they actually believe they're crucifying Jesus Christ again, and then eating his flesh, drinking his blood. And Moses forfeited the right into the land of Canaan. And this is another example to us, okay? We individually are not responsible for the offenses committed against us. Woe unto them. He said, woe unto them. It is impossible, Luke 17, that offenses will come, but woe be to the one who causes the offense. We are responsible for our reaction. And Moses is that example. So it's best just to zip, be quiet, let the drama take place and just watch it, and try not to say anything. And that's the best way to deal with a narcissist, is just like a gray rock. So sadly, here Moses says, you know, this is why he wasn't able to go in the land of Canaan. And I'm sure he had regrets. And Aaron couldn't go also. So neither one of them got to go in. Not because of the offense, but because of their reaction to the offense. So that's why we just got to, you know, take our time. Okay, so we got a paragraph mark, so there's a time stamp in there somewhere. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believe me not. Now, the Lord read that heart. What didn't they believe? They must have not believed that speaking would cause the water to come out. I don't know specifically what he's referring to. I would assume that. Because you believe me not, to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. And again, sanctified, I think that wording is obviously precise. I always like it when somebody says, well, I like this verse in the Bible. Well, you know, I kind of like all of them. But this is a really good verse in the Bible. Well, I think they're all pretty good. But just for fun. Okay, sanctified, notice, not justified. Smiting the rock pictures justification. Speaking to the rock pictures sanctification. So, he had, Lord spake, because they believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye, okay, not ye, the plural pronoun, he's talking to two men, ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. And I bet their heart sunk. Lord, you're right. I'm wrong. Please forgive me. You're forgiven, but you still can't go in. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctified in them. And of course, in 1 Corinthians, it says in chapter 10 that we study, read the stories in the Old Testament for our learning, because they are in samples or examples to us. Okay, paragraph mark. Boom. Moses sent messengers from Kadesh. Okay, story done. Another story. Sent messengers from Kadesh unto the king of Edom. Okay, these are the Edomites. These are the descendants of Esau. Esau is the brother of Jacob. So these would be relatives, you know, distant relatives. Thus saith thy brother Israel, thou knowest all the travail that hath befallen us, how our fathers went down into Egypt, and we have dwelt in Egypt a long time, 215 years to be exact. Okay, and the Egyptians vexed us and our fathers. Okay, why didn't the people up there in verse 3 and 4 remember that? It's because their initial burden of water caused them not to remember. And when we cried unto the Lord, he heard our voice and sent an angel and hath brought us forth out of Egypt. Okay, so the angel, that's that one that killed the firstborn, came through there. And behold, we are in Kadesh, a city in the uttermost of thy border. Let us pass, I pray thee, through thy country. So again on the map, this is going to be coming up the King's Highway. Okay, as they're coming up, this is the route of the advent of Jesus, where Jesus comes and to Mount Sinai. When the Lord comes back, and it's going to be so fast, but he's going to come down on Mount Sinai where Moses was given the Ten Commandments. He's going to come straight north up the King's Highway on the west east side of the Dead Sea. He's going to go right up there, and then he's going to get right there by what's today is called, let's see, it's right there by Syria. I've drawn a blank. Must have not have water. So it comes in, and you're coming into the Valley of Armageddon. Okay, you're coming in east to west. Okay, and let's see, that's where they're, not there, not there. It's the, that's the first map, second map, fourth map, route of the Exodus, route to the Promised Land. Okay, so you can see how they're going. They're over in Kadesh Barnea. You have it? Does everybody have that? The color map? I do have these in PDF if you'd like to put them on your computer, and then you can print them out.
Or you can buy a reference Bible.
So, just for fun. So then they come down. They come. I, of course, have them coming down because there's mountains in there. I don't think they traveled through the mountains. And then they come across to Sela Petra. That should ring a bell for us. And there's Edom. So they're asking the Edomites if they could pass through their country. Can we come through? 3 million people. Can we come through? We'll buy water from you. You know, if you got it either in the Evian water or, you know, springs, you know, Evian, you know, that, you ever see that water? Evian water? Spell it backwards is naive. But you got all that. We'll buy water and food from you. You know, you can put your people out there on the roadside, you know, and the kids can sell lemonade. 3 million people, man, you can make a bunch of money. And so then they come up north, past Moab. So they're asking, so let us pass, I pray thee, through thy country. We will not pass through the fields. We'll stay out of your fields or through the vineyards. We won't go through, neither will we drink the water of the wells. We will go by the King's Highway. We will not turn to the right hand nor to the left until we pass thy borders. You know, and Edom said unto him, we put up a wall. You can't come through our borders. You know, they said, thou shalt not pass by me. We're not letting you, lest I come out against thee. Well, it's the only way they're going to go anyway. They had to go that way. So they asked, and they were turned down. Now God intervenes, okay, and the children of Israel said unto him, we will go by the highway, and if I and my cattle drink of thy water, then I will pay for it. They got all that money. Remember, they got all that gold out of the Egyptians? They had buku money. And so without doing anything else, go through on our feet, he said, thou shalt not go through. And Edom came out against them with much people and with strong hands. So Edom came out and attacked them. And Edom refused to give Israel passage through his border, wherefore Israel turned away from him. Okay, and the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, journeyed from Kadesh and came unto Mount Hor. Okay, and so they're coming a different route, but yet they're going to have to go through Edom anyway. The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in Mount Hor and by the coast of the land of Edom, saying, Aaron shall be gathered unto his people. So Aaron's going to die. Aaron's going to die. Now that's one of the common sayings. I can never figure out where it originates from, is the idea of kicking a bucket. I can't find that one in the Bible, anybody. Anybody can help me out on that? You know, I don't know. I know the cow kicks the bucket when he milks, but... So Aaron's going to kick the bucket. He's going to die. Okay, and Aaron shall be gathered unto his people. Aaron shall be gathered unto his people. Down into Abraham's bosom? For he shall not enter into the land which I have given unto the children of Israel, because ye, plural pronoun, Moses and Aaron, rebelled against my word at the water of Meribah. Take Aaron and Eleazar his son. Can you imagine what was going through Eleazar's mind? Dad's going to die. He's just going to go up there and kick off. Take Aaron and Eleazar's son and bring them up unto Mount Hor and strip Aaron of his garments. So there's just the three of them. Taking off his priestly garments. Put them on Eleazar, his son. Can you imagine the tears coming down that guy's eyes? I don't want this. I don't want this. I don't want this. The Lord says, somebody's got to take your dad's heritage. He's got to take your place. And Aaron shall be gathered unto his people and shall die there. And Moses did as the Lord commanded. And they went up unto Mount Hor in the sight of all the congregation. Moses stripped Aaron. So the people are watching this. So they're down at the foot on the base of the mountain looking up. And there's Moses and Eleazar and Aaron. He's taking the things off. People crying. You know, and all that stuff. Aaron died there on the top of the mountain. Just died. And Moses and Eleazar came down from the mount. And when all the congregation saw that Aaron was dead, they mourned for Aaron 30 days, even all the host, house of Israel. They stopped camp. Now remember, still in the distance, Edom wants to go after him. And the Lord just says, you stay over there for a while. These people got to take care of some business. 30 days. So they just parked for 30 days. And so that's 20. Okay, let's go and pray. Lord, I do thank you for your words. Thank you for this record, this account that you've given us in the Old Testament. Thank you for Moses and Aaron. Thank you for the testimony that's given. Thank you for their example. Thank you for writing these things, because we have the same emotions and feelings when people say things. And I just pray you'd help us to be faithful to thee. In Jesus' name, amen.